Do scientists need a leap of faith? Find out on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pushback. I'm Dr. Johnny, coming a couple days late again. I've been trying to get some yard work done, and my wife and I are sort of knee-deep into a landscaping project, which made it a little bit hard for me to break away and get this done. I had to kind of chuckle the other day because, actually, it was just yesterday. I was buying grass seed because the drought has killed patches of grass on my yard. So I was getting some grass seed, and I was getting it right during the middle of a snowstorm. Only in Minnesota would I be thinking about laying down seed while it's snowing. So this is kind of the life that we live here in the unpredictable weather of Minnesota. I'm coming to you again after laying down sort of a battlefield last week, and I felt like it was such an important transition as I'm transitioning from really imploring parents over these first 3 months of the year to switching to what I call pseudoscience. It's the second P in my series, pseudoscience, because I believe science is a contributing factor to our culture, not an insignificant one, and I'm going to prove that to you. But I do believe that the scientific community has bowed a knee to an unholy alliance. And because of that, in an embarrassing sort of way, have abandoned scientific principles that have formed our way of performing our tasks, the things that we've been given to steward as scientists. I wear many different hats on this podcast, certainly as a dad and championing family and as a physician, but I'm a scientist as well. I have a medical degree. I have an advanced doctorate in science because I care about it. And there's no way that you go through medical school. They always say medical school, there's two things that happen. One is you either come out of medical school so arrogant that you become your own god, or you draw closer to the true God because you've discovered the fascination of the human body. And you realize this could only come from one place. This is holy. And that certainly was the case with me. And so I take it seriously. And I believe that science, because of the abandonment of scientific principles and kowtowing to where the money is and to political pressures, have actually moved away from the scientific value. And not only that, I believe the consequences is that it's killing our kids. I believe so strongly in that. And I believe that the topics that I'm going to talk about here over the next several months, because they are science related, I'm going to ask you to not tune out or say that doesn't apply to me, because it absolutely applies to every human being because it forms worldview. And I believe that is actually the goal, unfortunately, of the scientific community, to change your worldview, whether it's scientific or not. And that's a problem. Because if our scientists are lying to you, if our scientists are compromising what they believe, if our scientists are compromising the scientific principles upon which they were trained, then they just become another agent, an agent of propaganda, an agent of worldview. And I believe that's what we're dealing with here. So I'm going to ask you to lean into this. This is titled Leap of Faith. Because I want to explain to you, I want to go back to the very beginning of what we're talking about when we're referring to scientists and worldview. Now, we immediately think about an evolutionary mindset versus a creation mindset. Now, I think it's super important to understand from the onset that what's being taught in public schools is an evolutionary fact, is what they say. So they actually have to defend what they're teaching. We actually don't need to defend creationism because it's not being taught. What's being taught needs to be defended. And what's being taught, I believe, is embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing from a scientific level. So there are things called scientific laws. So evolution now is presented as a fact. If you go into a museum and you see the placards of the T-Rex skeleton, it's going to tell you that it's millions and billions of years old. Now, it says that as a fact. It doesn't say it's theorized that it's a fact, or it's proposed, or we believe. None of those words. It just says this is what it is. This is what has been proven. And they present it as a fact. They present it with so much certainty that you would actually think it's a law of science, that this is actually what happened and we have proven it. The point of this podcast and podcasts to come is to explain to you that there is no burden, there is no scientific burden that has been proven in any regard. So question, is it a law? Well, think about a ping pong ball and you're going to hold it in your hand and you're just going to let go of it. It's going to drop to the floor. Pick it up again. Let go of it, drops to the floor. It'll do this every single time you let go of that ping pong ball. It's going to drop to the floor. It's a law called gravity. It's a law of gravity. We can watch it. We can observe it every single time it happens. And so it's a certainty. It's called gravity. Well, there's another law. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. It's called entropy. And it's involved in physics, and it's indicating that the whole universe of matter is running down and ultimately will reduce itself to uniform chaos. That's what happens when you put something into a system. It becomes more chaotic. It follows the second law of thermodynamics, which seems about as basic and unquestionable to modern science minds as any truth can be, like dropping the ping pong ball. This is what happens. This is what we observe every single time, unless some type of external force, hear me now, external force is applied to a system, it's going to tend to chaos. There's no automatic order that's in it. But at the same time, scientists propose, on the physical level of existence, something quite different seems to be happening. Structure and species are becoming more complex, more sophisticated, more organized, with a higher degree of performance and consciousness. The law of increasing entropy is a universal law of decreasing complexity. Whereas evolution is supposed to be some type of law, universal law of increasing complexity. It flies right in the face of the second law of thermodynamics. I can just drop the mic and walk away at this point because it makes no scientific sense. And here's the deal, my friends. Scientists know that to be true. And so they blubber and they spit and they make a big fuss and they kick you out of school and they stomp their feet because they know scientifically they have nothing to stand on. This is just one of literally thousands of things I could present to you behind this microphone that show the holes in the evolutionary, I don't know what to call it. It's not a law. So let's find out. Is it a fact? Before we even answer these questions, we have to go back to the very beginning because it's about evidence. Some people will say, well, there's different evidence. There's evidence for creation and there's evidence for evolution. No, I'm going to contend to you that there's the same evidence. We just look at it through a different worldview. That's what scientists are trying to create, is an alternate worldview. What does that mean, alternate worldview? It's the starting point. Their worldview has started with the notion that there cannot be a God. That's what Darwin started with. There cannot be a God, so there needs to be some other quote-unquote natural explanation for why we are here. Of course, the creation starting point is Genesis chapter 1, that there is an all-creator God. And we look at the evidence, and it can be the same evidence, and yet, because of the lenses that we look through, it's different. So let's look at evolution specifically. They're saying, well, there cannot be a God, so there must be some other explanation. And what they've come up with is that over time, quote unquote, nature finds a way. That is the theory, the fact of evolution. So is it a fact? Fact, in the most basic sense, is a scientific fact, is an objective and verifiable observation. So are we observing evolution now? Are we becoming more complex? Are we changing from one species to another? The answer is no. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. Now you're going to say, now wait a minute, there seems to be new species of dogs that are coming out all the time, and they're changing and they're adapting to their environments. And yes, that is some genetic shuffling that's taking place. It's called microevolution. There's genetic shuffling that occurs that have us look different over time. And so dogs can change and look differently depending on where they are, how they look, how they present themselves. That is true. That's called shuffling. And interesting, when we shuffle genetic information, genetically speaking, it's usually loss of genetic information, not gain of genetic information, interestingly. And so, again, you look at the COVID virus, such a great example. It had different strains. It was, quote unquote, changing. It was mutating. Isn't that evidence for evolution? Does that not make it a fact? No, because the genetic shuffling that takes place in a virus is usually loss of information, and it usually becomes less virulent, which is exactly what we saw with the COVID virus. That's what happens, becoming less complex, not more. That's what we see in microevolution. But here's the punchline. Dogs can change and dogs can have variations, but at the end of the day, guess what? They're still dogs. They're not changing into something else. In fact, they're following the second law of thermodynamics in the fact that they are actually devolving. And that's true for human beings as well. We believe that Adam and Eve is actually the most perfect, genetically pure human creation ever created. And since then, we've been devolving, not evolving. So it's far from fact. It's far from observable. We should have millions of years of transitional fossils, millions of years of evidence of transitional fossils, and we should be seeing transitional species now, which we don't. It's far from a fact. So is it a theory? I always contend that if scientists would just call it an evolutionary theory, I would stop having the veins pop out in my forehead. But is it even a theory? A theory is a well-substantiated explanation of some aspect of the natural world based on a body of facts that have been repeatedly confirmed through observation and experiment. Oops. It's not even a theory. They have no well-substantiated explanation. They have an explanation, not well-substantiated, can't be confirmed through observation, and there's no experiment that would show that evolution could take place. So I'm being generous by saying, let's just call it a theory. What about philosophy? Is that the right word? Philosophy is a study of the theoretical basis of a particular branch of knowledge or experience. Well, I think we're getting warmer. It's not exactly right. So what about religion? The definition of religion is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. Oh, now we're getting warm. See, this is about worldview. This is about the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. There's a certain irony in the definition of religion. And that's the word purpose. Purpose implies an intentionality, which is not even found in the evolutionary religion. It's about origins, about where we came from. And my friend, scientists are grasping at straws. Don't you ever scratch your head why they still talk about aliens and paranormal activity? Or the reason is they haven't proven anything. And when you actually drill down onto a scientist about evolution, they'll bring up aliens. Well, maybe we got seeded, S-E-E-D, by some kind of alien life, because that's the only reason something like a human body could exist. It's kind of sad and pathetic, honestly, and embarrassing at the worst. A science of evolution is just really bad science. And I would say it's actually just a religion. And if we want to drill down more, I would call it a godless religion. We talked about the battle lines last week. There is a godless alliance that is forming between politicians and scientists and what I would call a godless religion. Why would I call it godless religion? Because that's what science has actually hooked their trailer to. It's a religion based on the fact that there cannot be a God. Evolution is a worldview that starts with the premise that there cannot be a God. Their scientific measures do not confirm the worldview. They conform to the worldview. Don't be confused about carbon dating. Oh, we analyzed this piece of wood and we found that it's millions of years old. They just found a test that would come up with an answer that shows that everything is millions of years old. Because that's the only explanation they can give, is just given enough time. When you talk to a scientist and you drill them down on the things that I've talked about just briefly so far, they're going to say, given enough time, anything is possible. Given enough time, a COVID virus can turn into a gorilla. That's what they would say. Give it enough time, it could possibly happen. And that's why they just keep adding years. Billions and billions of years. They just keep adding more years because they know what they're trying to teach you doesn't make sense. It's simply a religion. Creation is also at best a theory, scientifically speaking. Now we know, we believe the Bible to be true. And so in our minds, we don't consider it just a conjecture or a theory. We actually have an ancient text, but for some reason that's dismissed. That actually talks about what happened. It's a firsthand testimony of an historical event, but we don't count that. That's not apparently scientific. But to be honest, we weren't there either. And so as a scientist, we can only just look through the microscope and see what we see and see what we observe. And I want to be clear again that people say there's evidence for creation and evidence for evolution. No, it's the same evidence. We're just interpreting it through different lenses of our worldview. So this has become a problem. There is a gigantic leap of faith that is required to believe the religion of evolution. To believe a godless religion requires a greater scientific leap of faith than it does to actually believe in a creationist worldview. I'm going to say that again because I think this is very important. To believe the religion of evolution requires a deeper and bigger leap of faith than it does to actually believe in a creationist worldview. I believe that with my whole heart. Scientifically, I believe that. I'm not reading 1 Corinthians here. I'm just speaking to you as a scientist. It takes way more faith to believe something just magically appears and happens over time. That's not science. That's not science. So scientists need to get back to what they were trained to do, to observe. I don't care, honestly, if they have a humanistic evolutionary worldview, as long as they call it what it is. You don't go in a museum and say this T-Rex is 200 million years old. You say it's been theorized, or we believe, or it's possible. That's actually more scientific than for us to read that this is actually 200 million years old. They weren't there. They couldn't possibly know. And even if they did know, or even if there was better proofs of this, they could be off by literally hundreds of millions of years. That's not very scientifically accurate even. It's a complete conjecture, and they're telling you, they are selling you something that is completely untrue. And again, we as parents need to have our eyes open because our children are going to a secular scientific class in public schools, and they are teaching them something that's a big, humongous problem. It's a humongous problem, and this is why. They are teaching your children that they are purposeless, that they are animals, that they are accidental, and that it's about survival of the fittest, whatever pleases you, whatever benefits you. That's what they're being taught in science. And then when they walk out of that certain school classroom, the leaders of the school are hoping that children do live with purpose, that they don't behave like animals, that they aren't accidents, that they actually think of others and not themselves. This is a problem. How can you teach them one thing and expect them to behave differently? This is what's happening to our children, is they are being told that they are cosmic accidents. Do you think that there is no consequence to teaching children that? Do you think they're stupid? Do you think they're going to poof, all of a sudden live with purpose? Purpose is given by a creator who created them. And that's what they're being taught at church. And yet they go to school and they're being taught something completely different. This is a problem at church and this is a problem at school. And I'm trying to convey to you in this first message on science that this absolutely matters. Our origins matter. We can't just ignore Genesis, the first three chapters of Genesis or more, even into Noah's Ark, which explains almost scientifically all of the things that we see today. We'll get into some more of those details as we go. But parents, we need to be educated and smart, and we have to realize that our kids aren't stupid. Worldview matters. Write down the word entropy and bring it to your high school teacher and ask them questions and make them defend their position. Because they're scientists. They need to be accountable for what they're teaching. And don't be surprised, kids, if a leap of faith or aliens come up in discussion, or that everything is possible given enough time. That's called religion. That is not called science. And I want to expose it. I want to peel back the layers and have you see exactly what we're dealing with. What is the motivation? Why would scientists or science teachers want to lie to you? It's because about a worldview. It's because they want to live without any type of accountability. It's because they want to be able to prove things scientifically and naturally, and they think that contradicts what is taught in the Bible, which it doesn't. So here's the punchline of this first podcast regarding pseudoscience. There is no scientific burden that needs to be overcome by any pastor in the pulpit or any parent at home. They've proven nothing. Other than there is a creator who loves you. I believe all arrows point to the fact, scientifically, that there's evidence of God. The Bible even says so. It says, look around and you'll be without excuse. Look at the human body. I'm going to love to just share some things about the human body over the next couple of podcasts that are going to blow your mind and make no sense evolutionarily. So please don't think this matters. Please don't think we can all just sing kumbaya and get along on this. Our kids are dying because pseudoscientists are lying to them. And their motivation is to take them down with them and have them live selfishly and for themselves, because that's what they want to do too. It comes down to worldview. And make no mistake about it, this is not religion versus science. This is not church versus school. This is not uneducated versus educated. Science is a beautiful thing. I'm a scientist and a Christ follower. And I believe what the Bible says. I believe what we see is because of what he created. And science is a wonderful, wonderful field of exploration where we learn about him. I'm in a field where I apply my science to actually help people, to save lives, and what a privilege it is to be sitting in that position. But I will not compromise even my scientific abilities. I'm not going to compromise what I believe, and I don't need to. That's the punchline, is you don't need to. You can start in Genesis chapter 1 and read all the way through the Bible and believe every bit of it. Every bit of it. And it lines up with science. Science backs it up. It's there. It's not you're not going to be an idiot if you believe the Bible. Scientifically, it's there. And there's absolutely no burden Some people will say, well, maybe I can believe that God used evolution to, as part of his creation. The only reason you would say that is if you believe that evolution has been proven. It's some kind of scientific law. It has not been proven. There's no burden there. And there's no reason to believe that God would do it a different way than what he wrote in his book. Read Genesis chapter 1 and take it to the bank. I feel so strongly about this, and I would love to get feedback. When I've taught on this before, I've gotten feedback, positives and negatives. But I delight to talk about it because it's basic and it's a starting point, and it has grave consequences, not only to our culture, but to our children. We need to learn about it. We need to become educated about it, and we need to know how to talk about it. And we need to know where to challenge and where to push back. That's what this podcast is about. Thank you for listening to me again today, and I look forward to connecting with you again next week. Now let's go together to set and shape the culture.